How many of you ladies were at Kindle the Flame this weekend? And you're back here on a Sunday night. Lord, help you, Jesus. Wow. I wasn't even here, and I was tired. I didn't even come to one of the meetings. No, praise the Lord. We're so glad that, you know, Rhema is an interesting place. Of course, we have so many outreach and different things going on, but there's always somebody around here who wants to hear the Word of God. And so this is my favorite place ever to ever get an opportunity to preach God's Word. I was thinking about not too long ago, and just indulge me here for a little bit, but I was thinking about this. You know, I grew up in a town. At the time that I grew up, there was about 5,000 people in that town. And I was on this last week was able to go down to São Paulo, Brazil, and be with the Rhema folks down there, and had a meeting with over 800 ministers, just ministers, in the southeast region of the nation. And I'm thinking, you know, what only God could take somebody from a small central Illinois town, a suburb of the capital city there, and, you know, cornfields and soybean fields and hay fields, wheat fields, and turn and have had the opportunity to go all over the world. And, you know, God's story about you is the same. Amen. God is not limited by where you're from or where you've been and what he's going to do with you. I like to think of it this way. You know, you could have been on the right side of the tracks. You could have been born on the wrong side of the tracks. You could have been born on the tracks. It doesn't make a difference to God. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? We sang about that. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, every time we're in the pulpit, we have an assignment from God. And so we want to do what the Lord and follow what the Lord has for us. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight. I want to talk about, now there's a King James word we're going to read in several different verses throughout Paul's writings, especially, and then Peter also, but throughout the New Testament. And the King James word is the word conversation. Now we use that word to mean what we say, right? But in the King James English, it wasn't used that way. In fact, just to look that up real quickly, give you a definition of what that word originally meant. Thayer's Dictionary of Biblical Word says a couple different things, but then it gets down to, it says metaphorically, to conduct oneself, to behave oneself, or to live. Now, that's one of the words that's used. Another one means your manner of life, or the way that you live life. Now see, it's important, and we're going to see from the scriptures, that we who are now citizens of heaven, amen, children of God, it is important how we conduct ourselves in life. The Bible says we're to be doers of the word, isn't that right? Not just hearers only. And it is important. Now, why is it important? Now, I think sometimes we thought it was important because if we didn't live right, God was going to get you. No, 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 no. If God wanted to get you, we'd have got God, right? And he did whatever punishment there was. That Jesus bore that for us. Living right, living in our manner of life is important because it has a direct effect upon the way, on the ability we have and the anointing we have to serve others. Amen. See, my living right makes the gospel attractive. It lifts Jesus up. And what did he say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. I know sometimes in thinking about this, I thought, what is it that you're so unwilling to give up that might cost somebody their place in eternal life? What is it that you just have to do so bad? You just have to have it in your life that it might offend somebody away from the gospel. What is it? You know, and I'm thinking about that and looking at that. And so we're going to look at some scriptures tonight. Now, this isn't a beat us over the head. No, it's not a burden to obey God. It's freedom. It's freedom. Glory to God. So here in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, I am reading from the King James Bible. It says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience." Now, there's something very important. Paul talked about keeping a pure conscience. That's the voice of the inner man, keeping a pure conscience. "That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Now notice that. How are we going to do this? How are we going to live right? By the grace of God. I mean, God is so good. He tells us, here's what you need to do. Then he gives us his grace to do it. How can you beat a deal like that? Can we? Look at this. By the grace of God, for we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. See, by the grace of God, we have lived our manner of life as we've gone out and ministered in this world, but more abundantly to you. And we've kept a good testimony of our conscience. We haven't violated. Now, some you might say it this way. We haven't violated what we know and believe on the inside. We've lived according to that. We've had a good conscience. Amen. Go back. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 1. I just want to look at a few scriptures. Now, it's interesting, you know, we need to know. I think primarily the biggest thing to me that I could say that over, you know, I've been privileged to be preaching the word of God for over 38 years now. And in that time to me, and I know in my own life, but even in others and observing others, the biggest hindrance to Christians is not knowing who they are in Christ. But then not just knowing, but then living like that. It's not just the knowing, it's the living, okay? And so, yeah, we can talk about those aspects. But how many of you found that this? How many of you know the righteousness of God in Christ has to take the garbage out every week? Right? And sometimes we don't think about that. Well, that's part of this manner of living. We don't think, hey, the more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus has to be nice to people. Especially looking at that sex. No, I'm picking on some folks up there. And so there's not only a knowing on the inside, but there's an also doing and living from that. We live out of the reality of who we are. Excuse me. All right. Verse 13, chapter 1, Galatians 1. He said, for you have heard of my manner of life or my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. See, he's talking about how I had a reputation. So our manner of life is going to produce a reputation. Right? Now, you don't know it and we don't think about it so much, but I'll guarantee you, you have a reputation. Amen. Now, sometimes, you know, if you're running for a Supreme Court judge or that, your reputation. We had a pastor friend that he posted on Facebook, said, if they're going to go back to high school, we're all going to hell. I don't know if that's true or not, but how many of you are glad for but God? But God. But God. Amen. But we have a reputation. So our manner of life, the way we live life, Paul said, you knew my reputation when I was among the Jews. I had a reputation, okay? He goes on and talks about some things concerning that, but I want to establish that as far as that word. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1 because you can't just jump into verse 3. You have to, and really if I did justice to it, I'd start at Ephesians 1:1, but we don't have time tonight for that. I know at one point, the Lord, the leading of the Lord, and reading books and listening to sermons on cassette tapes. How many of you wore out a few cassette tapes in your life? Now, some of you are like, cassette tape, what is that? But, you know, and you, man, that rewind button, rewind that thing and play it, rewind and play it. And do you remember when they came out with the one that would automatically reverse? Oh, praise the Lord. Didn't have to pop that thing out and stick it in there. And I know I used to, you know, being at our church, one of the things I'd do the sound and you'd have to be in charge of recording the service, right? And when they had that thing that would auto reverse and record at the same time, because how many of you remember back in the day, there was gaps in people's sermons. What was that? That's ever how long it took the person to go click, turn it over, stick it back in there and push record again. Like, what'd they say? Well, you just had to fill in the blanks yourself there. All right. But taking the time to stop, I would pause that tape or I'd where I was in the book. And I go back in the, especially in the epistle, especially these letters that aren't so long, you know. If you're reading Psalm 149, it's hard to go back to Psalm 1:1 and you know, how much time do you have? But go back to Ephesians 1:1 and read up to the verses that they were talking about to get it in context. So important to keep it. But for time's sake, let's start in verse 1 of chapter 2 here of Ephesians. And you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now notice he said that's past tense for the Christian. Among whom also we all had, everybody say had. Had our conversation or our manner of life in times past. Now notice this, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now it's interesting here, so much of this he's talking about what we were. When you has he quickened. See, when Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead, right? When he was made alive, we were made alive. But he brought us out of the death of our trespasses and our sins, the way we used to live, in their manner of life in times past. That was our reputation before, was that we lived according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, because our nature was, we were a child of wrath. In other words, we weren't the child of God. But now we are the child of God. And so just going backwards, we don't live according to the lust of our flesh and of our mind. We are the desires. We live according to the desires of our spirit man on the inside. Glory to God. We're not fulfilling those lusts. Our manner of life, our reputation is such of that. Look over in chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 21. Oops, sorry about that. He's talking about you've not so learned Christ here, about not walking as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He gets here in verse 21 and says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, what's he saying? That former lifestyle has to be put off. And he's telling us we have to do that. Okay, so thank God. God, now what do we know about God? What did Paul say? It's by the grace of God. God has given us grace to change our reputation. Amen. Have you been around people, you know, that knew you before and now they know you and they say, boy, you've really changed. Anybody? Nobody? Oh, okay, good. Some people, at least some people. All right. But what's happened? See, you've put off the old way of doing things. Right? And you've been renewed. He's talking about being renewed in the spirit. But you've put on the new man. You put off that old way of doing things. See, with the new man comes a new way of doing things. There's God's way. Right? There's God's way. And then there's this world's way. And then sometimes there's my way. But I always want to yield everything to God's way of doing things. Okay? And it's not a hard thing. It's free. The more you do it, the more grace is available to do it. Paul said, I labored abundantly, but yet not I, the grace of God which was in me. Hallelujah. So this manner of life. And then let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now there are some other references as far as just look up the word conversation in the New Testament. You'll see a couple in Philippians, but it's a totally different Greek word. In other words, original word. And it actually has to do with your citizenship. Where it says our conversation is of heaven. Our citizenship is from heaven. So that's not really what we're... It's not talking necessarily about our manner of life, even though we live out of where we're from. How many of you still have habits or words that you say based on where you grew up? Right? Based on where you grew up. My mom and dad are here tonight. My mom's mom, my granny. See, that was that side of that. She was granny, and then I had grandma. Okay. But granny from southern Illinois. And now, how many are from the south? And you say y'all. You're wrong. It's Ewens. Right? My granny's a Ewens. Okay. Ewens going to do this. Ewens going to do that. I don't remember, but I understand that my grannies want to introduce me to fried taters. Cooked in lard. Let's go eat. No. Hallelujah. But see, that was something, that was from where she was from, how she was raised, right? Now, some of you aren't from any far, any place south, you know. You might be from South Detroit or something. You don't say Ewens or y'all, whatever. You know what I'm saying. You're going to have your own. There's things. There's ways of doing things based on that. Okay? But in God, we learn a new way of things. 1 Timothy 4. Now here in verse 12, this is a great admonition to this to a young minister. But this works for all of us. Let no one despise your youth, he said. But be an example of the believers. In word, in conversation. Now, he's not talking about what we say here again. This is the same word that means in your manner of life, the way you live life. See, be an example. Be an example. Tell your neighbor you're an example. I know in teaching here recently in the classroom, we're talking about teaching the class ministerial ethics. And, you know, you hear so much about leadership these days and different things of that sort. And this and that, and there's been some great things said about it. Some of it Bible-based, some of it not. But leadership, one of the things is leadership is influencing people. Influencing people, right? Well, notice here he said, be an example in the way you live. Why? We influence people. One study said that the most introverted person, that's one of the people that like to stay to themselves, you know, they're not outgoing. They're not like our pastor. You know, Ms. Hagin said he could talk to a fence post. You know what I'm saying? He can talk. They're not like him. They're more introverted type person. That they potentially in their lifetime can influence up to 10,000 people. And they're introverted. You see. We're to be an example. He said, be an example in the way that you live life. Who was it that said that Christians are the only Bible some people are ever going to read and many of them need revised? It was one of those old-time evangelists. I can't remember who, when I say old-time, 1800s. Well, thank God. How many of you open for revision? Amen. Constantly as we grow and grow, you know, in the things of God. But be an example. Be an example. I know, you know, we hear... You hear sports people, some sports figures say, well, I'm not a role model. And I understand what they were trying to say, but we're all role models in one way or another. As a Christian, we are an example of what a Christian is. Now, what do you hear people? I hear people say all the time, you know, used to be, well, I don't come to church because all the hypocrites. I want to say, well, come along then. You'll just feel right at home. Amen. Because there you are judging Christians, and you're calling them, you're calling them hypocrites, and you're one yourself. So just come on. And like somebody said, if you're looking for a perfect church, as soon as you get there, it will have lost its reputation. But be an example. He's not only in word, but in manner of life, in charity, in the love, our love walk, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Being an example. And so, you know, in order to do these things, how do you know, realize this? We have to live with a consciousness of that. Now, again, not fear, not being afraid that God's going to punish us when we don't measure up. See, that's not the idea. Because if that's the idea, then you're not really convinced God loves you perfectly. Perfect love. In fact, I don't have this on my note, but I'm going to read it. I want you, real quick, turn over to first... John chapter 4. I'm going to look this up here. Because this verse, this is the living Taylor. I call it Taylor's paraphrase. It's not necessarily a translation, but the living Bible. 1 John 4 and verse 18. This verse right here really, really helped me. And it helps me. I go back to it. Because when he said your manner of life, He didn't necessarily say that you're never going to mess up. We understand. Paul didn't say, I never messed up. All right. But what did the, you know, Brother Hagin just say? Be quick to repent. Just be quick. You know it on the inside, you did it wrong. Be quick. Be quick to repent. Now, 1 John 4:18. This is, the Living Bible. Mr. Taylor's paraphrase said, we need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. Now notice that, to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. See, it's so important that we are fully convinced that God loves us. Because the basis, that's the basis of our relationship with him. And that's the basis of how we interact with him and his word. If we're interacting with his word based on being afraid of God, then we're always going to see it as, I don't measure up. Then there comes what with that? Condemnation comes with that. Now, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All of us are endeavoring to do that. I haven't really met somebody that says they're born again Christian that's trying to live like the devil. You know what I'm saying? Most of everyone I know is trying to do their best. But when I do it from this standpoint of, I'm already loved by God, I'm not trying to get God to love me, then my manner of living, you see, flows from that relationship. It flows out of that love. My conversation or my manner of life is a result of my relationship with God. Amen. And then I can take on the responsibility. See, here's the thing. There is a responsibility of walking in love, right? There's a responsibility. Hang on a second. I lost my notes because I changed my Bible translation. Okay. Due to technical difficulties, this sermon's over. No, Well, okay. Get back here to 1 Timothy. Okay. But I can fulfill this. I can do these things. I can be an example because I know God loves me. See, I'm free to do that. It's not a bondage. It's not a hindrance. All right. Hebrews 13. Here again, here's another idea of this idea of being an example for others. Hebrews 13:7. You know, like I said, some said, well, I'm not a role model. Well, why not? Why not? Well, I'm not supposed to be your child's role model. Why not? Well, that's too much pressure on me. Oh, okay. See, you're trying to do it yourself. Do it by the grace of God. Be a role model for everybody. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect in your life, does it? Well, how can you be a role model of how to go through difficulties, struggles, trials, tribulations? Yeah. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them that have the rule over you, or God has placed in a place of authority, literally here, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end, everybody say the end, of their conversation or their manner of life. Now, in looking for someone to follow, you want to look at what's the result. What is the end of this? They say this. All right, is this word to follow? Well, all right, we read it from that standpoint. But what about, let's be the person whose faith can be followed. And let others consider the end of our lifestyle, the way we live life. Let them consider it. You see, every Christian can be, every one of us can be that example for somebody else. Now, why, again, are we doing it for ourselves? No, we're doing it because we love people. God loves us and God loves people. And so we're involved in what God's doing. And he left us here as his ambassadors. James chapter 3. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes just doing a simple little word study like this, just kind of going through the Bible, New Testament here. There's the word conversation in the New Testament's found 18 times. We're not looking at all those because I already mentioned to you a couple of them don't have anything to do with manner of life. Has to do with your citizenship. But we are looking at all these that do talk about manner of life. And just looking at their at what they say, and of course, you know, to really do a big word, it would be able to take it all through the context, read all the scriptures around it. But you can see just looking at these that this is a subject that's in the Bible just more than one mention. And there is a principle of things. Once if it's mentioned several times, it must be important with God. And now we've seen Paul mention it. Now here's James going to mention, use the same word here, James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or good manner of living his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, how many of you know a lot of people think they're really wise, but they don't live that way? You know, a truly wise person who's filled with the knowledge of God is going to live that way. And you can see it. It's evident. How many of you ever watched or grew up? I don't even know now, but watched Dr. Price, Frederick K.C. Price out in California. But his song about his TV show, Evidence. Basically, there's a line in it. Could they put you away? Is there enough evidence in your life that says you're a Christian? Could you be arrested for being a Christian? Amen? Why? There's to be evidence. He said, let us show out of a good manner of life these works with meekness and wisdom. All right? There's it. Let's look at Peter used the same word. 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me. I'm going to start in 15. And read down through 19, if I didn't put that all in there. 15 through 19. He says here, but as he which has called you is holy. How many of you know God's holy? Jesus is holy, right? What does that mean? Holy, sanctified, set apart. Holy means clean. All right? So be holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, all your lifestyle. Because it is written, be holy for I'm holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, and talking about reverence, not being afraid of God. Remember, we're not to be afraid of God. Why would you be afraid of someone who loves you perfectly? Okay, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. From your vain conversation, in other words, that empty way of life we used to have, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Glory to God. See, be holy. As a manner of lifestyle, be holy because God is holy. Now, maybe that kind of tells me this. I need to see how does God live life, in other words. Well, who do I look to? What do I look to find out how God lived? Well, number one, Jesus. How did Jesus live? He lived a holy life, right? So I'm looking to him, looking to Jesus. And then also, whatever the word of God asks me to do, if God said do this, that's going to be holiness. He's not going to ask me to do something that's not holy. And so looking at that and being holy as he is holy. Chapter 2, verse 12, talking about as we are in this earth as strangers and pilgrims, having your conversation or your manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now see here, he's talking about literally being an example with what you do. That even those who are speaking against you, who are calling, saying evil things against you, calling you evil, they won't have anything to say in the day of visitation other than to glorify God because you lived a lifestyle in front of them. Pastor Hagin talked about that this morning, about this gentleman that picked up, that picked up all these young fellows and brought them to church, you know, with their parents' permission. But how many I've heard him tell that before, and how he made a special effort to go to his memorial service and funeral, and all these men were there at that. Why? This man modeled in front of these young boys a godly lifestyle, so much so that when they were now adults and he's at the age, he went home, they are honoring him and paying him respect and giving glory to God because how he lived life. Amen. What a testimony that is. Okay? And so we can have that same thing. Now, here's something great. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Any of you ladies that have a husband that's not obeying the word of God, listen, I know you've tried to prophesy to him. That didn't work. You've tried to preach to him. That didn't work. You've tried all kinds of things. How about what does the Bible say about that? How many of you know the Bible will produce results? All right. This is going over really big, but here we go. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives, or the lifestyle, the manner of living of their wives, while they behold your chaste manner of living coupled with fear or reverence or respect. Ephesians chapter 5 tells the wife to respect your husband. See, unconditionally. Like the husband loves the wife unconditionally. See, because when you have that in the marriage, then you're going to be able to weather no matter what comes along. You're going to be able to weather it. But see here, notice that he said, not with words. Don't preach to him. Don't come home from church every time. Boy, you missed it tonight. Why don't you start going to church? You know, good. And no, it doesn't work. You can't yell at your spouse in tongues and call that holy. I heard someone one time said, I just gave it a good cussing in tongues. I was like, what? I think you missed the point. He's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't cuss, swear, or curse for some of you who are more. All right? He talks about that. All right, look. Look at verse 16, same chapter. Here again, this is the second time in this book he's said this statement. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life or conversation in Christ. See, I don't care what they say, I'm going to live right. Okay, that's what he said. No matter what anybody says against you, no matter how they're coming, you go ahead and live right. You have a good conversation. Chapter 2 Peter chapter 2. It's got two more verses here I want to look at. 2 Peter chapter 2. I don't want to read that one. 2 Peter chapter 3. That's talking about Lot and his way of living. Anyway, those that were living, not Lot's, but those who were living bad. We won't look at that. Let's finish this. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, he's talking here about, you know, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. He said it's going to happen. How many of you know it's going to happen? It's going to happen just the way God said it's going to happen. We may not be able to figure out all detail and put dates on it. That's all right. We know the times and the seasons that we do live in, don't we? But we can't put all that on there, but we know it's going to happen. It's going to come like a thief in the night. He talks there, and then he gets to verse 11 of chapter 3. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Seeing then that these things are going to happen, how should we live? How should we be in a holy manner of life and holy lifestyle? Now remember, what did I say? What's the source of that? Of that loving relationship with the Father. Knowing that the Father loves me and he's holy. I'm going to be like, Father, I want to be like you. I want to live a holy life like you do. And he says, these things, it's always been important. But you can understand as we get closer and closer and closer to the end of time, as God has called it in the Bible, as we get closer to the wrapping up of all things here, how much of a greater importance it is that we have this holy manner of life and live in godliness because we are influencing a generation. Influence of people. If you look, you know, really, I heard Brother Hagin used to say this, and it always sounded hard when he said, he said that in talking to the Lord about things, the Lord told him, he said, I'm not holding the world responsible for what's going on. I'm holding the church responsible for what's going on in the world. He said, if you don't like it, then you need to use your authority. You need to pray. And if you're not going to pray, you're not going to have results. Now, I don't think the Bible doesn't teach we're going to turn this earth into heaven, then Jesus is going to come back. Some have taught that we have to make earth heaven and then Jesus will come back. No. The Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. Darkness is getting darker and darker, but thank God when it gets dark, light shines brighter. And we are light in the Lord. He's in us, right? Amen? And so, here again, the righteousness of God needs to live a righteous lifestyle. The new creature in Christ needs to live a new manner of living. All these things. Yes, it's so important. It's so important that we know who we are. It's so important that we know God loves us. But let's turn that around and out of our love for God and our love, the love of God in us for people, let's turn that around and let's live a lifestyle that can be followed and that will cause people to give glory to God. Amen? Let's all stand up on our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word tonight. Just lift your hands and thank him. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight. Thank you, Father. Father, your word is always our guide, our standard for living in life. And it's not a burden to keep your word, Father. Thank you, Father God, that you love us dearly. And you've loved us before we ever had one action in this earth, before we ever on this earth. So you continue to love us regardless. But I thank you, Father God, you place within us your grace, your ability to live a life that can be followed, to live a life that brings glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as he's lifted up, he said he would draw men unto him. So Father, I thank you tonight. Help us, let us, Father God, all incorporate this into our lifestyles so we can be witnesses, not just do witnessing. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. Our prayer team's going to come. We're going to go ahead and ask them to come. If you need prayer for anything tonight, you may not know Jesus. You may not have that relationship. Maybe you've never experienced the love of God. You need to, don't leave here tonight. I've got good news for you. God's not holding your trespasses, your sins, your wrongdoings against you. He put that on Jesus at the cross. Jesus perfectly bore it for you, and he rose again so that you could have the freedom that he has now as risen from the dead. Amen? And so come down tonight, ladies, to the ladies, men, to the men. First of all, though, before we all dismiss, can we ask our connection team to find our first-time guests and take those folks and receive that gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagin and the Rhema Bible Church family. Let's give these folks a big hand clap tonight. Thank you for being here. Now keep your ears open as you found out. If you were here this morning, you found out this morning that we're not 100% sure where Wednesday night service will be. It will be on this campus somewhere. All right, so if you pull up and you see a sign or you see some people waving you a different way, that's all right, okay? One said the other. And so we're giving them time to let us know. Amen? But Wednesday night, I do know this, Pastor Hagin's planning on being in the pulpit, and you want to come hear a good word from him on Wednesday night, all right? Gentlemen, we got anything else? Everything good? All right. Shake hands with two or three people. Let them know that you love them in the love of the Lord, and you can be dismissed. God bless you.